Well, my next guest this morning is a wonderful local author who was talking to us this morning, in fact, from Kingsthorpe, known as G.J. Foxhall. We know her as Jill, a retired USQ tutor who wrote her first book a couple of years ago. And, of course, you know I've got young kids, and I tell you, this was a beauty at the time, Kanga's Christmas Delivery. It was a beautiful storybook, and I'm pleased to say that Jill joins us on the line this morning to tell us about her new book, The Ballad of Scrag Ends. Good morning to you, Jill.
Hello, Lee.
Now, I loved your first book, Kanga's Christmas Delivery. My kids loved it as well. An absolute
beauty.
Well,
that's very kind of you.
It was really great. I'll tell you what was really wonderful was to be able to read a book with them that was written here locally. And I remember at the time you talking about the fact that, you know, there's no snow and there's no reindeer and all of that. This is a Christmas story that Australians can really relate to.
Yes. Yes, and the picture I had in my mind that was extra Christmassy was of the wildflowers, because if you look at those sprays of grevillea or banksia out there in the bush, it's just like those sparkling Christmas decorations, and that was the idea I had for the Christmas delivery of the baby in the kangaroo's pouch.
I think that is fantastic. And you were inspired to write these stories because your son, who's, you know, given you quite a few lovely grandchildren, had moved away to Sydney, and you thought, right, I can't tell them the stories anymore, so I'm going to write them down. Is that right?
That was part of it, yes. But it was just, I guess that mainly that I had these stories that I'd tested out on children.
Yes.
And wanted to get them out there. And my sister and brother-in-law had gone indie publishing through an Amazon branch, which is CreateSpace and Smashwords. And so they helped me actually do the Kanga book. My brother-in-law did the art. And my sister formatted it for me, and that showed me how satisfying it was to get these stories out and really try to make something of them. I'm not young anymore. I'm 72, so, you know, I'm kind of scrambling for time now, I guess, to get my stories out, so it's a real thrill to see them in print.
Oh, I bet it is. And the illustrations that you've got in these books, and this one here, The Ballad of Scrag Ends, illustrated by Dolby artist and primary school teacher Kylie Jane Cook. This little dog, just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it really brings it to life, doesn't it?
Yes. Kylie's a wonderful girl. She's really blown me away with her ability with art. And it's such a nice person to work with as well. So I'm totally thrilled with the outcome of the print.
Now, tell me about the story of The Ballad of Scrag Ends. Where did this one come from?
Well, at one stage, it would have been more than 10 years ago, my mum and two sisters and I were all living in Toowoomba, and we all loved reading, and we started a little writer's club, and we'd have to do various exercises, and one of them was to write a ballad. And I'd always loved The Man from Snowy River.
Yes.
So when I sat down to write mine, I had that rhythm in my mind. There was movement on the station, for the word had got around. You know the one.
Yes.
And so I the words of Dragons just sort of came to me with that rhythm.
Isn't that wonderful? Named, of course, after the cheapest cuts of meat from the butcher.
Yes. Yes, this hero dog. I made him the unloveliest creature you could ever imagine, you know, a mangy flea bag, but so brave, and just the loyalty of dogs and the usefulness, especially out on those outlying farms, is just amazing to me. They're wonderful creatures, I think.
As I said earlier in the intro, you were known to many as a tutor at the USQ. Putting your tutor hat back on, how important do you think it is that we as parents sit down with our kids regularly and read to them and get them involved?
Yes, I think it's vital. And it's not just the story. It's the act of sitting down and cuddling your kid and sharing something together. And I've always found, you know, with the little grandchildren, it's been a very calming thing for them.
Yes, absolutely.
To maybe end the day with a snuggle and a lovely bedtime story, and
Well, it's certainly a regular thing at my house, and I think this will be the next one that we pick up. Kanga's Christmas Delivery went down well. There's another great book too, What the Magpie Saw, and now The Ballad of Scrag Engs. You can get them at the Book Tree, the phenomenal bookstore there in Ruthven Street, or you can also go via Amazon to pick yourself up a copy. It is wonderful to be able to talk to a local author writing kids' books about something that they can relate to in their own backyard, and I thank you for it, Jill, and well done on this latest publication.
Thanks, Lee. There is another one coming out very soon as well. It's called The Sand City, and it's for very young readers, and again, delightful illustrations by a different girl, Esther de Boer, but that should be coming out around July or even sooner, I think.
Wonderful. Well, we hope you continue to put out as many stories as you can, and we thank you for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you very much, Lee.
Well, the Big Skies Festival is a great way to get out and check out everything that the Western Downs has to offer. It's been already running since the picnic races last Saturday. This is a unique opportunity to be hot air ballooning over the majestic Jimbor Plain, and it's happening on Sunday. It's this weekend, and you kick off at around 6 o'clock in the morning. It would be just absolutely fabulous watching the sun come up over the Western Downs from your hot air balloon. And the bloke who will be taking up there is Murray Blythe, and he joins us on the line this morning from Go Ballooning. G'day, Murray. How are you?
Oh, mate, feeling uplifted as always.
I bet that's a regular, is it?
Oh, it is.
Well, mate, you might start by telling us, how did you get involved in hot air ballooning?
Yeah, well, I've been hot air ballooning for about 17 years now. In 2001, I went for my very first balloon flight. I was petrified. I can't even climb a ladder, but I can fly in a hot air balloon. So, go figure that one out. After we landed, I said to the guy that was flying the balloon, I said, mate, that was unbelievable. Could I get a job for you? And I actually got a job for about 3 or 4 years as the ground crew chief. So that was that involved driving a four-wheel drive with the balloon on the trailer, setting up the hot air balloon, and then chasing after the balloon to where it landed. And that's how I got into it. It's just been a natural progression. And now we actually own and operate Australia's largest balloon and the world's largest pink hot air balloon, which is coming to the festival.
Isn't that fantastic? I mean, we see visions of these things. I must admit, I've never done it because I'm a bit like you. I can't even climb a ladder. So I don't know how you got up there on your first ride. But you, as you say, you're quite happy to do it. Is it just because it's so gentle and so quiet up there that it doesn't affect you as much as other heights?
Yeah, well, a lot of pilots are like me. We are all fearful of heights, but then once you're in a hot air balloon, you don't get that same sensation of like, you know, you want to fall. It's really peaceful. It's really silent. There's no wind because you actually are the wind. So that's a pretty magical experience. It's so silent in the air. It's just the sun's rising. So many things are going on. It's just peaceful, quiet. It's like a magic carpet ride.
Well, that sounds brilliant. You do go up early in the morning because that is probably the best time, I'm assuming.
That's sort of the only time we can go. We can attempt to do an afternoon flight, but we go early in the morning because that's when it's nice and cool on the ground. We've got a nice cool layer of air that forms overnight. We take off and we land in the cold air, and we don't want to be landing in 20 knots of wind because, you know, you're obviously standing in a giant picnic basket and it'll get a bit rough. So, that's the reason why you'll only see balloons generally first thing in the morning.
Now, your first hot air balloon, the ride that got you involved, that was over the Gold Coast because that'd be magnificent, the hinterland and looking out over the ocean. But I would imagine it would be spectacular looking out over the plains of the Western Downs.
Yes. I did a lot of my training out in the Western Downs.
Right.
We used to hook up the little balloon, go off for a weekend and go flying, and it was it's absolutely spectacular out your way. Beautiful, all the farms, all the different, you know, changing landscapes and scenery. We're all looking forward to it.
All right, so it kicks off at 6 o'clock in the morning. How long are you up in the balloon?
Well, how long's a piece of string? We can't guarantee how long we're going to fly for, but we try and fly for up to an hour.
Wow.
We're taking about 3 or 4 balloons coming. I'm bringing the Australia's biggest one, carries 24 people, lifts 4 ton off the ground. It stands at 13 stories tall.
Good
and it's hot
grief.
Pink.
Hot pink.
Yeah, we support the McGrath Foundation, so all our balloons are pink.
How wonderful. Well, that'd be stunning just for people who want to go out and have a look at them. You know, if you're a bit like me and you're a bit chicken of getting in, I would imagine it'd be a spectacular sight just watching them floating across the Downs.
Come on down and see them inflate. Yeah, it's amazing. We inflate the balloons with 220 horsepower fans. They take about 30 minutes to cold inflate on the grass. Then we get in there, we turn the burners on, heat the things up, and they slowly come to life and stand up. That's when everyone climbs in, and off we go.
Mate, that is brilliant. All right, how do people get involved in this one? How do they get onto you to get themselves a hot air balloon ride coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, sure. The best way to do it is probably jump on the Big Sky's website. I think you can book directly on there. If you're struggling, just jump on our website, which is goballooning.com, and you can book with us. But we'll be there on Sunday.
It sounds brilliant, mate. Well, Murray, thank you very much for your time this morning, and I look forward to seeing the social media posts, and I'm sure plenty of people will be snapping away photos of the magnificent plains of the Western Downs from your beautiful balloons, mate. And thanks for your time this morning.
Awesome. Thanks for your call. Looking forward to it. See you, mate.
You cannot be serious!
Yes, I'm serious. And supermarket shoppers in the western German city of Aachen have stepped out of their comfort zone to sample insect burgers made of buffalo worms. The worms, highly nutritious due to their high protein content, are the larvae of buffalo beetles and are bred in the Netherlands. Served in rolls with lettuce, onions and tomatoes, they're being offered to customers at a supermarket in Aachen, where they've just been added to the stock range after proving successful in other countries. Now, I'm no expert, but I can't see the McLarvae Happy Meal taking off anytime soon. And an unusual moment in Houston traffic is going viral after a man challenged another driver to a game of rock, paper, scissors for the right of way. Marco Sanchez posted a video to Facebook showing him challenging another driver to the game to see who would get to go first in the lane amid extremely slow rush hour traffic last week. The video shows Sanchez being bested in the game and allowing the other driver to merge in front of him.
Paper, rock, scissors. I'll let you in if you win. Come on. Go for it, man.
Which is certainly better than the Bronx version of Gun Shoot Face.
You cannot be serious.
Music, celebrities, sport, gossip. The Entertainment Report on the Darling Downs Triple M.
His status as one of the greats of rugby league can't be questioned. An Australian international, Queensland State of Origin and Indigenous All-Stars representative, the first ever four-time Dally M medalist for the NRL season's best player, and he also became the first ever three-time winner of the Golden Boot Award for the world's best player. And then, of course, there's that laugh. Here's Jonathan Thurston. But what's less known about JT is his personal story, how a skinny kid from the back blocks of Brisbane transformed himself into a world champion. But now, for the first time, JT opens up in a brand new biography expected to be released this November. In the book, JT opens up about the Coffs Harbour scandal, the Bulldogs salary cap scandal, and the time he almost walked away from rugby league. JT, the autobiography from skinny kid to league legend, is available for pre-order now through Booktopia or iTunes Books. A mysterious Guns N' Roses poster featuring all five original members of the band has popped up in London, sparking reunion rumours. The poster was spotted in Camden and features Axl Rose, Slash, Duff, Izzy Stradlin and original drummer Stephen Adler. The band reunited more than 2 years ago now, but Stradlin and Adler were both left out. The latest poster suggesting that they may all finally be coming back together for the first time since 1991. The poster's direct to a website which simply had a message reading, "Destruction is coming." Adler has made a few guest appearances with the band since their reunion, but Stradlin hasn't been involved at all. Adler is due to tour Australia this year to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the band's iconic record, Appetite for Destruction. It's possible that if these posters aren't teasing an original lineup reunion, they could be promoting something else relating to the 30th anniversary of the record. And tributes are flowing for actress Pamela Gidley, best known for her role as Teresa Banks, the murder victim from the Twin Peaks prequel, Fire Walk With Me, who passed away earlier this month. Her death was announced Sunday in an obituary. The cause not immediately clear. A former child model, Gidley made her jump to the big screen in 1986, appearing alongside actor Josh Brolin and future Twin Peaks co-star Sherilyn Fenn in the skateboarding flick Thrashin'. Pamela Gidley was 52, and that's the latest.